we had said that there are pious women, and every woman has to strive to be one of them. And then Rav Nissim Gaon told us the stories of Rav and Rav Chiya, whose wives were their challenge in this world, that their wives made their lives difficult. And Rav Chiya taught us the principle that once one is married, one's perspective should be, if she's raising my children and she's living with me as a wife, so she's doing the minimum she owes me, and that's good enough. And now Rav Nissim Gaon says that the custom in Israel was that after a person got married, they'd come to him and they'd ask him, Matzah or Motzeh? There are two verses. One verse says, Matzah Isha Matzato. One who found a wife, he found good in this world, and he has the goodwill of God in this world. Another verse says, Motzeh. Umotzeh ani mal mimavet. Shlomo Amel said, I find the woman to be more bitter than death. So Shlomo Amel said both of these verses. In one verse he said, Matzah. He who found a wife found good in this world. And in another verse he says, Umotzeh, and I find the woman to be more bitter than death. So our sages said that if a person is stuck with a bad wife, and it's very expensive, he signed a very expensive ksuba, so the solution, he should take on a second wife. And there it is, when you could marry a second wife. Why? Because when there's a second wife, there's competition. The Gemara says, if she's a wife that's really bad for a person, so then if he could afford it, then he's better off divorcing her and not remaining married. There are situations where a person should divorce his wife. If one knows his wife is cheating on him, one can't remain married with that woman. There are situations where the halacha says, out, don't stay with this woman. And Ben Sira said, Ben Sira was a book of that has wisdom and also has some things that are not. So Ben Sira said, a good wife should be found in the embrace of a God-fearing person. A bad wife is like tsaras, like some form of leprosy to her husband. How does he fix it? He should divorce her and be cured from his tsaras. So we said, what's a bad wife? We said, there are instances when that would be the recommendation. Ben Sira also said, a daughter to her father is like a jewel that's a fake. It seems like a jewel, but it isn't. He's fearful for her, and he won't sleep at night. When she's young, he's scared no one should seduce her. When she grows and he sees she doesn't have her period, he's worried, why doesn't she have her period? How will she have children? She isn't developing as a girl. He's worried, is she developing the way a girl should? A father worries about his daughter. She should be able to have children. Her children should live. Maybe she won't get married. Will she find this shidduch? Maybe not. Maybe her husband isn't fit for her. Maybe she won't be tsanua. Maybe she won't be God fearing. Maybe she'll be a witch. So that's why our sages said, praised is one who has children that are fit, because a person never knows which of his children are going to be kosher and which not, a son or a daughter, and therefore the best is that he has both that are good. So what we see today, that there are situations where our sages recommended a person does get divorced, and there's nothing better than a good woman. It's one of the gifts God gives a God-fearing person. If one has and Ben Sira said that a daughter to her father is something that's filled with worry. And we see it today. A guy at 30 gets offered shiduchim, girls that are 32 and 30 and 28 and 27 and 21, maybe even 18. A girl that's 30, she'll be offered to be set up with a divorcee, and an alman, a widower, and maybe someone who's 35 who's single, but she's going to have a hard time to get shiduchim. So that's what our sages said, that on the one hand, she's a jewel. On the other hand, it's like a false jewel, because there's a lot of worry that comes with bringing up a daughter. There's a lot that a father has to worry that she should develop the way he wishes and the way Hashem wishes, and that's a very big challenge. But Rav Nissim Gaon ended up with, praised as a person that merits to have both good sons and good daughters. One never knows who with whom he will succeed. Should we do a little bit more? Okay. Our sages said, Almana Shovavit. The Gemara in Sota describes people who destroy the world. And the Gemara is describing people who externally are very pious and internally are not. And this situation where a person tries to convey that he is very pious when he really isn't is very damaging. It's one of the things that destroys the world. The Gemara says, Almana Shovavit. A widow who is always doing tshuva, uvtula, and a young girl mitzulatzit, she's always praying. They're from those that destroy the world. Why? Because the Gemara says there was once an almana that always seemed like she was repenting, always doing tshuva, and people liked her. And really, in her houses, she was doing witchcraft and she was harming people. Whenever a woman was trying to give birth, she'd see that she'd have problem giving birth. And then she'd say, I'll go pray that things should work well for you. And then she'd remove the things that were harming the woman. And she'd say, oh, I went and I done for you. And then the woman would be able to give birth right away. And people thought, oh, she's such a pious person. And women, when they were pregnant, would go to her quickly before they were giving birth and beg her to pray for them. And one day they caught her and they saw that she had things that prevented the women from giving birth. And she just did that so that she could afterwards remove the problem. So the Gemara discusses witchcraft that she did. Some kind of sorcery that she had in the bottom of her house, different things that were moving. And a lad once came to her house and heard it, and that was the stuff that she had, kshafim, and that's what prevented the girls from giving birth. Kishuf. And from that day that they discovered her, no one needed her. Suddenly the women had normal deliveries. And they banished her from the city. So our sages said, a person's better off not teaching his daughter Torah. If one teaches his daughter Torah, our sages said, it's as though he's teaching her tiflut. That needs discussion, what's meant by tiflut. And our sages said, the reason is, Ani chokhma shachanti olma. The second a person attains the Torah, he also attains a certain cunning. And that cunning were built differently. Now I'm adding my own explanation. That the cunning is something that has to go with dat. And women have binayate rabata atan kalan. We had a whole class on this. With binah yeterah, that's very good. Binah yeterah is extra strength, and that's what's needed to build a home and build the future. And that's why women are the ones that are always building the future. They're the ones that that will take care of the children. They'll breed. They'll house a child for 9 months. A husband's very good at starting things off, but when it comes to nourishing something and bringing it to fruition, women are good at that. They're always doing that. That's their binah yeterah. They have the understanding, the foresight. But they're also da'atan kala. When it comes to da'at, their da'at, we say, is light. And the almumit, the cunning that comes with learning Torah, only works when one is heavy in his da'at. Binah yeterah misuses the oma that comes with the Torah. Now, we saw last night that doesn't mean that women can't be greater than men. We find that Sarah was greater than Avram. But their tap for attaining spiritual heights is to use their binah, and that binah is the tool that works with other things. They're going to work attaining higher levels. They don't grow through Torah. We were limited to our dat. We don't have their binah. Well, dat goes with Torah. We're very simple, us men. You teach me, I understand, I'll learn some more. So for dat, God gave us the Torah. They have other ways of growth, but for them, the Torah isn't good. To learn the Torah Shebaal Peh, to learn the cunning of the Torah, that's something that's going to ultimately be misused and be harmful for them. Yeah.
Well, But don't there is there a, but there are women in Jewish history. There were they, like Talmud and Torah.
There are always Bruria, exceptions, for sure.
Bruria and Hulda.
Why did Bruria die? Because Bruria had a hard time with this, that the rabbi said that time. Kala?
No, but then... Actually,
so her husband proved it to her, right?
She had relations with one of the students.
She didn't have relations. She was willing to have.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm saying, like, he seduced her, and then she was willing, and then she
okay, so that's because everyone has their strengths and their weaknesses. It's no shame to have a strength, and it's no shame to have a weakness. You just have to know that we each have our strengths and our weaknesses. Okay. And we find that there were women who were tremendous balot tshuva. Rabbi Yochanan said, we can derive fear, yirat chet, fearfulness of sin from the psula, and getting wages from the almana. Because one time he said, I once saw a psula falling on her face, a young girl. She went to pray and she said, God, you created the Garden of Eden, you created Gehenim, you created Tzadikim for Gan Eden and Rasham for Gan Eden. Please, God, don't let me be a source of stumbling for people. Don't let people stumble from looking at my beauty. I don't want to inherit Gehenim. So Rabbi Yochanan said, look, God created this psula, and look how fearful of sin she was. And I saw an almana come to shul, and there was a shul close to her house and a shul far from her house. So I asked her, you have a shul close to your house, why do you come to the one far from your house? So the almana said, because I want to get the wages for my footsteps. God gives us wages for every footstep we go to do a mitzvah. So I walk a little further, I get more schar. So Rabbi Yochanan said, you see, I learned yirascheit from a psula and the wages from an almana. We see that there are women who are very good, and therefore, says Rav Nissim Gaon, a person has to choose and try to be close to a woman who is tsanua and distance himself from a woman who is rebellious. As our sages said, a person should be willing to sell everything he owns in order to marry the daughter of a Talmid Chacham. If he couldn't attain the daughter of a Talmid Chacham, he should marry the daughter of the great people of the generation. If he didn't attain that, he should marry the daughter of the heads of the congregation. And if not that, he should marry the daughter of the Gabei Tzedakah, those that are in charge of Tzedakah. If he didn't find that, he should marry the daughter of one who teaches children. And if not, any of these are better than the daughter of an Am Haaretz, because they and their wives are equal. Notice, as much, that's what I wanted to tell you, as much as Rav Nissim Gaon said about the women, he's saying, well, the Am Haaretz are the same thing, and that's a lot of most of the men. The Odamru, and furthermore, our sages said, a person should be willing to sell everything he has in order to marry his daughter off to a Talmid Chacham. And if one marries his daughter to an Am Haaretz, our sages said, it's as though he gave her to the hands of a lion. The prophets, whenever they prophesized good things, our sages say they were prophesizing what a person will attain if he marries his daughter off to a Talmid Chacham, or he gives business to a Talmid Chacham, or he gives pleasure to a Talmid Chacham from his wealth. Because when one does that, it's as though he's clinging to the Shechina. When it comes to the Talmid Chacham himself, there's no limit to the good that's waiting him. As the prophet says, Ein lo rata lokim zulatcha. No eye has witnessed the greatness that God has waiting for a Talmid Chacham other than God himself. And next time, Bezrat Hashem, we're going to learn the story of what one of the great women of Jewish history did. A woman that we all owe our Torah Shabbal Peh to, that woman, the wife of Rabbi Akiva.